and like they really like really firmly hold their dick.
Yeah.
So their dick actually only can orgasm, like ejaculate with like a really strong.
Well,
like, really
welcome, cat, everybody. Welcome, our guest for today.
But no, it's a thing. And so guys can't like struggle to come when they're having sex with their partner because they can only come when they're like, when their penis is being gripped like really hard. Death grip syndrome.
Right.
I love the story. Don't talk your partner off with a death grip.
Welcome back.
I always go American.
Welcome back, everybody.
To our talk show.
Why? I just, that's all that happens in my head. Oh, no. Welcome back to Two Girls and the World.
I'm Vic.
I'm Charlie.
And today we're going to talk about sex, baby.
Are you going to introduce who we've got?
Yeah, so we want to discuss the topic of sex because I feel like it's a big topic and it can be quite a taboo topic for people to talk about. But I think me and Charlie would agree that our sex lives are a little bit vanilla. So like we're not the people to fully...
Speak for yourself,
hon. Oh, very wild. Which I just don't think we're the people to be able to fully navigate sex on the wide spectrum that it's on.
No.
So we've invited one of my really good friends, Kat Horrocks, onto the podcast. Kat is a female embodiment coach and she's currently training to be a tantric sex and relationship coach.
How sexy is that?
I know. And if you know Kat, you'll get this vibe already, but I feel like you're a very sexy person. You're very feminine, like sexy energy. And so like beyond your titles and the hundreds of women that you've helped put themselves first over the last God knows how many years. What's it like 10 years you've been doing this job?
Yeah,
coaching.
I think this is my 7th year, maybe 8.
Wow.
I always lose count.
Wow. So like
2017. So we can, like, someone else can do the math on that.
Because, that's 8
like,
years.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my 8th year.
Amazing. So, like, beyond all of that, Kat's a good friend of mine. And you're just one of the most, like, loyal, caring, grounding people that I know. And so I'm really excited to introduce you to the world... Are they called the World Girls? Did we ever give them a name?
The Worldies.
The Worldies.
Because Worldie is, like, a hot girl, isn't it?
Yeah.
Our worldies.
Thanks, Kat. We'll give you a cut. We'll give you a cut when we make a bit of money off the podcast.
I love it.
So yeah, welcome, Kat.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honoured.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
Yeah. So like Vic said, I'm a feminine embodiment coach. So I just love women and I love working with women, helping women feel fucking incredible. My like ethos of my work is helping women create a life that turns them on. So obviously having worked as a coach for 8 years now, as we've just done the math on, I've helped women like smash it in their careers. I've helped women feel more confident in themselves. And obviously over the years, like more and more helping clients with their relationship and their sex life too, kind of just naturally comes up when you're working really closely with a woman because it's such a huge part of our lives. And so for me, sex and relationship was always something I kind of supported clients with, but officially wasn't part of my work. And then last year I was like, fuck it. Like I need to go all in on this. Like I'm so passionate about it. It's a topic is really close to my heart. Like it's a big part of my life, you know, my relationship. And I am excited today because I think whenever you get women talking about sex, they just light up and like they're really drawn to the conversation. And yeah. Whenever you
love
say
it.
Some, yeah, like, isn't it so?
Sexual.
I am, and yeah. I have always been that girl who, like, when I'm with my friends, even the friend who's maybe like a little bit more conservative and like, you know, is a bit more hush hush with like her relationship. I'll get her talking about like what she wants more in the bedroom or like, you know, a relationship dilemma or whatever's going on. So yeah, I'm excited to hopefully like break down some taboos today, mm-hmm. help the worldies feel more like more normal, right? Like, oh, it's not just me going through this, mm-hmm. and also maybe even give you some like hot tips.
Love yeah. that. We have had so many, we say this every episode.
We've had true.
So many messages. Yeah, literally so many. And I'm actually quite shocked because I thought people might be a bit reserved or a bit scared to ask, but I made sure they knew it was going to be anonymous. And we've had so many messages come through asking about all different areas of sex and self-pleasure. So I'm very, very excited to get into this topic with you.
I am too. Let's go.
So I'm just going to kick it off straight away with a question here, because I feel like loads of people might relate to this. Why is it so bloody hard to orgasm? My mind is always racing or distracted, for fuck's sake. And actually, sorry, even the one next to it, wait, says like exactly the same thing. I struggle to orgasm and now feel so much pressure to have one by overthinking it.
You're not alone. I think every single person, but definitely every single woman, is going to relate to that. Orgasm is so complicated. Like I just said before, we could do a whole episode just talking about orgasms, because if you think about an orgasm and what it actually is, like biologically, there's so much that goes into that peak, like pleasure, and then obviously the, you know, an orgasm is a buildup of tension. If you're a scientist trying to explain it, it's a buildup of energy and tension in your body that reaches a peak and then gets like released. And that release is that like peak, you know, going over the hill feeling that you get when you like feel it, that explosive energy.
I didn't know that.
Did you not?
No. I don't know what one is like scientifically. That was interesting.
I'm listening with open ears.
Really?
Like, yeah, what's she got to say?
Well, scientists don't actually know everything there is to know about an orgasm. Like there is still a lot of question marks over what it is, because there's a lot of it that is energetic and is almost like hard to explain biologically, especially for women, mm-hmm. because when you look at how orgasms are described scientifically, you see it in line with how a male orgasm is, which is the event of ejaculation,
mm-hmm.
but we know for women, like, we, you know, some women ejaculate and squirt.
We've got a squirter. We've got a squirter.
I love that.
By the way, I'm not a squirter.
I'm not a squirter. I don't think I've ever squirted.
So since the start of my course, like, I've squirted a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah.
What is squirting like?
We're going off on a tangent, like, already.
Coming, or is squirting like wee?
So technically there's two different types. So you can ejaculate as a woman because you can have a build-up of a lot of a lot of the same fluid that like the natural lubrication, and that's inside your vagina. So
I think I get that.
Yeah, you can ejaculate that, like you can squirt that out. But some women squirt because there's like it's called a urethral sponge. I hope I've pronounced that right. I'm still in training, by the way. So like if I've not pronounced that scientifically right. But when you stimulate it, it swells and absorbs, and then it can like squirt out liquid, which is like mainly water, but it's coming out of your pee hole, basically, squirting. So yeah, there's two different types. But anyway, when you look in science, you know, look at what an orgasm is defined by, a lot of it is still defined by ejaculating, which for men obviously makes sense because a lot of men have an orgasm and then ejaculate, but most women don't experience that. So it is a phenomenon that we don't know tons about, and I think for a lot of women, if they're trying to see it like most of us are, as you build yourself up and then you get there like a guy would, of course you're going to feel pressure, because we don't work like that. You know, we're not wired like that. Women typically take, you know, a lot longer to even get warmed up, to even be ready for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind to then be able to have an orgasm, you know, which is, if you think about it, that peak pleasure, right? So you're not alone. There's so many contexts, and I think what's going to be most helpful for me to talk about is what is the context in which you're living and existing right now in your life. Because say there's a woman listening who is 1 year postpartum, that context is very, you know, difficult for that woman to feel, maybe even in touch with her body sexually again, if she's still breastfeeding or, you know, finished breastfeeding and is still like very much postpartum, right? That context that woman is existing in, she's going to struggle to feel as relaxed, as turned on, as connected with her body, like all those ingredients that she might have felt pre-baby that she doesn't now, or doesn't now as easily as she would have pre-baby because she's maybe sleeping less. And like, so when you think about what context are you living in right now in your life, that's going to give you some clues as to what you're struggling with when it comes to what's happening in the bedroom. And with the overthinking, a lot of that can come from everyday stresses. Like you could be having a really stressful time at work. I think we've all experienced that. If you're going, if some shit is going on in your life, in your work or with a family member, stress is a pussy dryer. You're not gonna want to have sex.
Nobody wants to dry pussy.
No. And you know, if you're stressed or something's going
on, I thought you were just gonna hit us with a big scientific term then.
No.
Stress is a pussy dryer.
You're more likely then, if you're stressed, to be overthinking and to maybe not feel as relaxed, not feel as open. So if someone's struggling with orgasm and they're finding they're overthinking and getting in the head, my advice is actually take orgasm as a goal off the table, mm-hmm. and focus on sensation. Like focus on the sensations that you're experiencing, because sex can be really pleasurable and enjoyable even without an orgasm. Of course, you know, we all love having an orgasm and that's great, but there are times, you know, for me where I'm like, I'm okay not having an orgasm today. I'm here to maybe feel more relaxed or feel more connected to my partner. So I think taking it off the table as a goal is a really great thing to start doing, and be open with your partner as well. You know, and say maybe outside of the bedroom, share like, this is something you are overthinking. Because I know for me and a lot of women, you might have a story in your head like, I take too long, or like, they're getting bored, like they can't be bothered like carrying on, you know, if it's going down on you or whatever they're doing. I think sharing that with your partner and being really open as well is gonna help them be more in tune. Because I know my partner can really tell if I am overthinking it. You know, if I have had a stressful day and I'll just say now like, oh, I can't relax. And he'll just be like, cool. And you can switch it up. You can try something else. You can just let it go completely. But I think taking it as a goal away from sex, like, will immediately take pressure off you.
Mm-hmm. But what about the people? So there's people who don't actually know if they've ever had an orgasm. Like, how would you get people to start exploring that?
Definitely with yourself first. And I would say that for anyone, you know, anyone who wants to explore different types of orgasms, or maybe the, you know, for the woman who's overthinking with orgasm with her partner, can you self-pleasure more and like discover different ways that you like to orgasm? And then can you bring that into the bedroom and say, oh, well, I tried this with myself the other day and I really liked that. Can we play with that? For the person who's never orgasmed, you'll know when you orgasm. Like, yeah. You'll get the, you'll get that's the feeling.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're saying you don't know if you've had an orgasm, I can guarantee you've not had an orgasm. Yeah. Mm. But I think it's really important to masturbate.
Yeah.
Do you?
Too. Yeah.
Definitely.
I almost think it's like a rite of passage. Like,
yeah,
if you've not masturbated, like, do it.
Yeah,
go and do it right now if you're listening and you've never masturbated. I think just do it.
There's people, so some people have messaged in saying that they've never self-pleasured, and I think people almost feel as though they're kind of cheating on the partner a bit. Like, if they're in a relationship and they self-pleasure, they're like, where do I fit the self-pleasure stuff in?
Yeah, I get that. Like, there's only 24 hours in the day. Bloody hell, if you're working full time, you're not going to have an hour every day to, like, massage your pussy and be like, wait, oh, yeah, having a lovely time.
Have you ever watched Sex in the City?
Yeah.
You know, when Samantha turns up to lunch and Charlotte's like, oh, you're glowing. Have you had a facial? She's like, I masturbated all afternoon. I'm like, we just do not have the time. It's like a quick 5 minutes, but imagine doing it all afternoon. How good would that be?
I actually don't think I could be asked doing it all afternoon. I'm very much...
I feel like Vic's very like, one and done.
Like, I just want to get shit done, but I feel like that's maybe a little bit of an unhealthy... It's my approach to everything in life, just get it done. So like when I come to masturbating, I'm like, how do we just get the climax as quick as possible and then move on with
the
day?
But I think there's something good in that though for the people listening who don't self-pleasure because they're in a relationship, because I see it as two completely separate aspects of my sex life. There's my relationship and then there's self-pleasure, and the two are like, one feeds into the other, but self-pleasure, you don't feel bad about making a salad for your lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't feel bad about going for a walk. Giving yourself an orgasm is a healthy thing to do for your body.
Yeah.
There are like, so many benefits to it.
It's your relationship with yourself. Yeah. Which like goes beyond your relationship with your partner.
Yeah. And I think one of my biggest lessons has been taking responsibility for my own sexual identity and like and pleasure, you know, not completely outsourcing pleasure to your partner. Like, mm-hmm. your partner isn't responsible to give you every single orgasm you need to have in your life. Like, there is some element of taking charge of that for yourself, and then that only like feeds into your relationship even more.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think like self-pleasure can only benefit whatever you do with your partner.
100%.
Yeah. And I feel like it gives you more confidence as well.
Yeah, I agree. And even, you know, there's so many elements to it, but thinking of just the relationship, like maybe you wanting to explore different ways to orgasm. Like I said, you know, if you always like just rub your clit and get off that way, maybe you want to like explore using a dildo or a wand or like something internally. Ooh. And that
was a question.
What? What, how to do it?
Sex toys,
yeah. Oh. We can talk about that.
Mike says my bedroom drawer is like a fucking sex website with how toys I've got.
Well, yeah, because you're like, right, which one today? Bish, bash,
no,
bosh.
To be fair, you have worked with a sex toy brand. Yeah. You're not just an absolute nympho.
But I've worked with them like once or twice, and they just keep sending me more and more and more. Like, I have sex.
She gave me one.
I did. I've given like my friend, my friend Hannah. She's got one. I've got like a whole bunch of them that I've never been used. Like in this,
really?
Yeah, in this like cabinet thing I've got.
Well, so Hannah one
wants
thing.
One. She wants a used one as well.
One thing I've not used are those like clit suction ones.
Oh,
yeah, but I've got them.
I feel
I
like
use it.
Do you
I'm.
Not?
No, I
you
don't. My fingers.
Oh. I only use my fingers, and I use a glass dildo. We can get into that if you want, but I feel like my clit is really sensitive, and I feel like that would just be too much for me because I've used a vibrator in the past, and that was like, whoa.
Well, they've got different settings, so you can put it on quite light if you like.
A tiny, tiny one.
Yeah, but I think that's
light
where,
touch.
Like, that's where I'm like, I just want to race to the finish. I'll just like, well, which one do I want to use right now? Get that out, do it, job
and there's
done,
something,
move on.
And again, it's like when you think of all the health benefits you get from that, and you know, you're doing that for yourself, that makes total sense. And that's how a man would see it.
Yeah,
you know, men don't see it.
I mean, like, I've got a lot of masculine energy, so it's probably makes sense.
Men don't
you're
view masturbating
to
as like
males here, pretty much the way we operate.
We shouldn't be called two girls in the world, two men in the world.
Oi, oi. Oi, oi, sexy.
But yeah, guys will be like, well, yeah, it's just, you know, it's stress relief, or it's like, it's just a biological, like, I just need to have that relief and then I can get on with my day. Like, they don't see it as something that is anything to do with their partner. And I think that, you know, for me, it's like, it does, I do bring that energy into my relationship if I am doing it more, but it is separate. Like, it is definitely separate. Because, you know, when you're a single girl, like, you can still enjoy it. You know, you, I hope you're still enjoying it and getting yourself off, like, regardless if you've got a partner.
Yeah. So what about, there's quite a few girls who have messaged in saying they've been with their partners for a year, 2 years, even long-term relationships, and they've never had an orgasm. They've faked their orgasm every single time. Like, how do they navigate that? And I know you're probably going to say, like, you just need to talk to your partner, but I feel like, you know, even some of the things that you're saying, oh, I would just say to Adam, I would just talk to Adam about, like, I couldn't imagine even myself, like, sitting down with Mike and being like, can we just talk about sex and how I'm feeling today? Like, I couldn't imagine doing that. So, like, how do you approach those conversations, especially telling your partner that every shag you've had, you've never caught, like, it's always been a fake orgasm?
I think
that's kind of,
it's two there's two different thoughts. Like, I've got the, because there could be someone who is realizing they've not had an orgasm, and then there could be someone else who knows they've not had an orgasm. And I feel like those are two different things.
Let's say it's the one that knows.
Yeah. Because I feel that's the vibe I'm getting. These girls know they're not orgasming. They're faking the orgasms.
Yeah.
And they've just, like, they've just spun a web of lies. And they're like, oh. And then really inside, they're like, oh. They're like, what are we having for tea? We got those sausages from M&S. Yeah, no, I think, like, no, but what would you do? What would you do?
It's like, that's a really difficult one, because
answer it.
You've got to think on the flip side. Imagine if your partner told you they'd been lying to you about something for X amount of months or years that you've been together. Like, it is, you know, you've got to imagine that your partner might receive that. You know, it might hurt them in some way.
Yeah,
and especially when you think about how pressured, you know, if you're in a relationship with a man, like, how pressured men can be to perform in that way and to create that result for you. And then, of course,
I feel the hurt already, like, that feels awful.
And then women feel like they have to be performative in that way, like, an orgasm has to be, oh my god, like, this is the best thing ever. Like, not every orgasm is like shouting and screaming either, so how you orgasm might not even be authentic to, like, how you've been trying to orgasm with your partner. I would say I'm big on communication, and I feel like when you know what you're gonna say, it's easier to just say it in any situation.
Yeah.
So if it was me advising a client, I would probably word it something like, hey babe, something I've been exploring recently is, like, wanting to feel more pleasure in my body, and I'm realizing that, you know, what I, like, I want to have more orgasms, and I thought I was having an orgasm with you, but I've realized that wasn't the sensation I was having, but I really care about you. I love our sex life. I get pleasure from XYZ. It's something I want to explore with you more. Come, like, how would you feel about that? Can we talk about that more? And then you can always go into more depth.
Oh, that's really good. I was sat here thinking, how's she going to pull this one out of the bag? Because I'd be like, I haven't had an orgasm, by the way. I'm like, what else?
Lying.
What else could you say other than that?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. And then if someone was, like, adamant that they did not want to say it, stop faking the orgasm regardless. Just stop doing that. Don't be performative. Like, be genuine. And you could, you know, your partner will notice the shift in your behaviour anyway in the bedroom if they're used to you, like, shouting and raving. And, like, all of a sudden you're more quiet. That might even help you make more noise when you're feeling different sensations that they can then carry on doing, because they might be, like, over here doing this and that means nothing to you and you feel nothing. And but then if you stop pretending that's what you want, then they're over here doing this and you're like, oh yeah, I love that, like, can you do that more? That feels really good. Like, you can be guiding them in that way without feeling like you have to all of a sudden be like, no, I've never orgasmed and I want you to make me come now. Like,
do you know what? I was going to say something and I really don't know if this is right or wrong because we know I'm not very good on advice. But like, if it was me, I'd fully put for that situation all the blame on myself because that would make me feel better about broaching it as a subject because really, I do believe that is all that woman's fault. She shouldn't have faked it. I get why people do, but the fact she's been faking orgasms, that's only going to lead... There's nowhere good it can lead to because then he's going to keep doing what he thinks is giving her an orgasm. It isn't giving her an orgasm. Like, it's not going anywhere good. I'm not saying, like, oh, naughty girl or whatever, but just think, right, I fucked up, but I can get to this place I want to get to if I just, like, accept I've done something a bit silly, but take ownership and just be like, look, my bad, but how can we have an orgasm together?
Yeah. And it depends on the relationship as well, doesn't it? Because if you've got an amazing partner and your relationship overall is amazing, honest, like open communication, you really love each other, you do have sensation and pleasure during sex, that's very different. And then feeling like maybe you started and then you couldn't stop faking it and you've just gotten yourself down a rabbit hole, that's a very different relationship to the girl who's faking it because her partner goes down on her for like 10 seconds and then stops and then they start having, you know, intercourse, like, you know, he just sticks it straight in and then, but she might be thinking, well, that's not enough for me, like I need more, but her partner's not being maybe as reciprocal in that way. Like, that's a very different dynamic, isn't it, to faking it with that person when there might be something really specific that they don't do that you really want them to do and that would help you achieve orgasm. I think that it depends on the relationship as well, doesn't it, and your connection already.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely worth noting that a lot of people can struggle to orgasm through penetration.
Yeah.
And there's like different ways that you can orgasm during sex. And it might be like, I know I could only orgasm in certain positions. Like, I wouldn't be able to orgasm in every single position, like regardless of how long we've been going for. Like, luckily I've been with Mike for 10 years. So we know like what works for me and we can have a bit, probably why our sex, or why I'd describe it as being maybe a little bit vanilla. Like, we love it. We're having a great time. But
that's all that
we
can't,
yeah, but like, we know we have a bit of a routine that we know yeah, that works for me really, and then common. It works for him.
The guy goes down on the girl,
yeah,
the guy gets on top, missionary,
yeah,
then you maybe switch one position.
What did you say?
No, so for me it's like
the guy goes down on the girl, makes the girl come,
yeah, and then it's like Mike's missionary time. Sex.
So I'm a bit of an anomaly, but I have an orgasm like really, really quickly through penetration, and
nice.
I don't need the licky licky. I
don't licky need, licky. So I do. I love the lick. Like, that's my favorite thing. But I can orgasm through penetration.
Yeah.
But we think that.
But we've talked about this because it's not common.
Yeah.
That's
no.
Why we say women, yeah, or we joke
like,
about
the majority of women can only achieve orgasm through clitoral stimulation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you know, and I've heard friends say this, if you feel like you need your partner to go down on you in order to have an orgasm full stop, that's fine. Like, there's no shame in that. I always say, you know, that's great. Like, continue having the orgasms you can have. And like, there is more possibility, like you can open up more like sensation and like pleasure, like pathways, because what happens is like your brain gets used to achieving orgasm from one thing. So your brain goes like, oh, like, you know, when a guy goes down on you, like, there's more, you know, it's very wet first of all, so it's like your brain goes, oh, like, that's easy, loads of lubrication. Oh, it's clitoral stimulation. Like, your brain goes, this is an easy way to come, so I'm going to get there every time. You can, like, teach yourself to orgasm in different ways with patience and without putting pressure on yourself.
Can I just ask, is that tantric sex, what you kind of describe?
No, so tantra is more about
tantra, sorry.
Yeah, so tantric, well, tantric sex is like a thing, and then okay. tantra is like a whole other episode that
right.
Because tantra can be just an like a more of a spiritual lifestyle. It's kind of like yoga, right? Yoga isn't just doing downward dog. Yoga is like so much more than that. But tantric sex is more energetic. It's more like bringing your entire body and energy system on board. So using your breath, focusing on like the energy moving through your body, like expanding the pleasure upwards. So if you're feeling the orgasm in just your clit, like breathing and like imagine the pleasure of your orgasm like expanding upwards, you can like start imagining the sensation inside of your vagina. So that's a really great way to think about if girls want to explore like how it feels during penetration. You can start feeling like almost maybe contract your vagina muscles, or like feel the sensation if you breathe in whilst you're having a clitoral orgasm. You can kind of play with different sensation and
this,
like start
reminds
linking the
me
two.
Of those coaches who are like, manifest while you're having an orgasm and make £1 million a month, like yeah. me.
Yeah, you know I'm not that girl.
No, you're not that girl. But that's what it's like. I just remember doing a workshop with this woman once. She was like, yeah, all you need to do is have an orgasm and manifest what you do, and then you'll make £1 million a month. Oh, I was like, God. I'll give it a go.
Maybe that's how I'll make my 27 million.
I love it.
So I think we should move on from orgasms. I feel like we've explored orgasms to the fullest, although I feel like we could have kept going on about
I know,
that.
I feel but... like we might need a part two.
Yeah, I do. I know. So there was quite a few questions about libido, and one person wrote in saying that they have a higher sex drive than their partner, and so they often feel rejected when they go to try initiate sex and they don't want it. How would you navigate that?
So again, I feel like this would be a conversation to have outside of the bedroom, like really neutral, you know, when you're both already relaxed and connected, like if you're sat having your tea or like on a dog walk, whatever. And I would just honestly share that with your partner and like how you feel, knowing, you know, own your side of it too, like it's not about you, you know. And I think when we feel that sense of rejection, if your partner doesn't want to have sex with you in that instance, of course, like you can have that human moment of like, oh, you know, that sting of rejection. No one likes being rejected. But ultimately, your partner could have been stressed that day. You know, your partner might have something happening in their life that like they're really worried about. That all the, again, like I said, for the women who struggle into orgasm, there are all these things feeding in to your sexual sensation, right? And, you know, whether you want to have sex or not. So being conscious of that, and maybe it might open a conversation with your partner about how they're feeling about that. You know, are they happy with that? They might have their own thoughts and feelings like, yeah, it's getting me down, or like, I feel like I'm not as confident. Like, you don't know what's going on under the surface unless you've had that conversation. I think it's really important to be having conversations about what like a healthy sex life means to you, because everyone has their own like sexual chemistry. And you know, when you say like we're very sexually compatible, what generally people mean is like we both like we fit together really well, literally and like metaphorically. But also like it could be the frequency, it could be the dance you do of like who initiates, who kind of is like pursued in that way. And I think it's really healthy to speak with your partner about, you know, if you would like them to initiate more, what would that look like for you? You know, when could that be? Vice versa, when does your part, like how does your partner want you to initiate with them? Because sometimes, and I know I've been guilty of this too, because I don't know how you girls are when you're ovulating, but I can, Party I feel like fuck. My body is like, fucking get the dick in me now. But like, sometimes your body is screaming, like, I am ovulating, I need to have sex. That is not sexy. Like, that's not alluring.
Rawr!
Yeah, it's like, so you've got, and again, it's like, it wouldn't be sexy if your partner was like, you know, poking you in the back, like, whilst
let me get this
tea.
Dick in your fanny, yeah, like, now.
Do you know, I'm not joking, like, that would be my preference. That is it. My preference. And I literally, like, I initiate a lot, and I just, like, wanna fuck. Like, I'm not joking.
But that's again, like, that's a compatibility thing, yeah, isn't it? Like, for this, you know, for this couple, you know, the woman who feels rejected because she's initiating and being batted off, like, their version of that could look really different, you know. Mm. Her partner might like initiating more, and so she can, like, take her foot off the gas. Like, I think it's good to play with it and to then both agree to make a really conscious effort to create sexy contexts in your life. Like, go both organize the date night, or, you know, be like, and especially you can kind of take your partner, like, let your partner be on board with this too, because if they aren't happy with their own sex drive, which they likely aren't, you know, no one feels great if you're constantly saying no, not tonight, not mm-hmm. tonight, not tonight. They hopefully are going to be on board with, like, well, when do I feel sexy? You know, I feel like I want to have sex more if I'm really relaxed. Okay, cool. What do we do at the weekend? You know, let's not just sit in front of the telly, you know, having a bottle of wine and, like, watching TV. Let's go out and do something. Let's go for a walk. Let's do this. Let's do that. I think it's really important for you both to have conscious effort in your life that, like, is contributing to not just your sex life, but, like, your connection as a couple.
Yeah.
Because I think that connection is naturally going to lead to intimacy, which mm-hmm. could be like a little cuddle, it could be like the poke in the back. Something I love is, like, the little slap on the bum whilst I'm in the kitchen, like, that kind of thing. Me, it goes far.
Mm.
And I think creating that connection with your partner, not just in that moment where you want to have sex with them and you're about to go to bed, but, like, across your whole relationship, I feel,
yeah,
for both people is really, really important.
Yeah, it's like the intimacy beyond the sex. Yeah. Like, and, like, how you can do that, whether it's, like, massage or,
yes,
even just, like, I mean, this, so that I remember this one coach said to me, like, because I, like, kind of personal share, when I had my abortion, I've spoke about this on the podcast, and then I had problems with bleeding and stuff for the year after, and I was, it would be so painful for me to have sex after that. And so then I've probably spoken to you about this before.
Yeah, I think you have.
I almost, like, feared sex, because for me it was just like this painful thing that I had to get through. So mm-hmm. I never wanted to have it ever. And this coach said to me at the time, like, try, like, just kissing. Like, yeah, when's the last time we just sat kissing? I mean, I couldn't imagine, like, sat snogging Mike on the couch these days. But she was like, you need to
fucking love a snog.
I can do it, like,
I
while
sometimes
turn
to Adam whilst we're sat having, like, sat at the dinner table, and I just go, do you want to make out with me?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love a snog.
It's so old school, isn't it?
I can imagine you're a snogger, and I don't know why I feel like it would
be really
wet.
Do you know
really,
what,
like,
as well?
Because you've always got a wet mouth.
Aww. Washing machine.
No, but why can I just imagine you being like, I can imagine you loving a snog.
Love a snog. But aww. I don't think it's like,
no, I can imagine you'll be a good snogger.
The right amount of saliva.
I think it's so underrated.
Yeah, I agree.
So it gets me going.
Well, I was going to say,
would you just, like, sit at a table and snog? Like, would you sit on the couch watching telly and then just snog?
No, but I would say, I'd be like, shall we snog? As in,
I love it.
It doesn't just happen naturally. It's kind of a joke thing, and then we will, but...
And but then will that lead to sex?
Not always.
No.
But, like, I'm a big snogger anyway, and, like, when I'm having,
yeah,
sex.
I feel, yeah, like this is a really great, like,
take.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like
I love that.
It's, like, proper love making.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, for the woman with the high sex drive, this is really helpful because maybe she could think about what non like sexual intimacy makes her feel like connected to a partner or comforted, so that she could share that with a partner. And then maybe if a partner isn't in the mood, but they might be open to cuddling or to kissing or to giving her a massage, and vice versa too, like, you know, for someone else it might be, well, I don't feel in the mood for like penetrative sex, but I'm happy to, you know, give you a blowjob. Like, you can have these like fun negotiations with your partner too, where you can still be connected physically even if one person isn't ready or in the mood for like full-blown sex. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing to have with your partner, so that both of you feel like satisfied.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so that when your partner does say yes, it's like with enthusiasm, because they're able to say no, but you still feel connected to them, because it's like, oh, not tonight, but let's cuddle, let's do this, let's, you know, give me a kiss, or like, let's hang out, you know, do you want like a massage? We love having a bath together.
Oh, do you?
I love a bath, yeah.
I love that.
So like, ours is not big enough. Adam's 5'9", so he like lies in the bath and I have to lie on him like a roller coaster. You know, if you were like, you know, you know those like toboggan roller coasters, like the one at Blackpool called Avalon. I lie on like his chest.
Right. Oh, yeah. Wow, that's so romantic.
It's so just I find it really comforting. So like, we'll just be in the bath and then you're obviously not really on your phone and stuff, so just like chatting, and then sometimes we'll have sex after it, but sometimes not.
Wait, so I'm just picturing, you're lay on top of him.
Yeah.
So your bum is on penis.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
I'm like, now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere. No, wait. So your hair is wet in the water.
Charlie's like picturing like a porno.
No, because I like it. I'm like trying to like picture it.
Oh, maybe my hair's probably up in a bun, like in his face, like annoying him.
Wait. Oh, so your heads are next to each other.
Yeah.
Or like.
Sorry.
Like me in between your legs there.
Yeah, so he has to like widen his legs and I'll squeeze in between.
I've got
his
it.
Legs.
And your heads are like.
Or like my head might like be like under his chin.
Yeah, no, that's what I was picturing more.
Yeah.
That I was just trying, but then I'm like, but then is there water in your ears? I just was
No. No.
Sorry.
In like a normal bath.
Yeah, okay.
The water is like probably
so
to my boobs.
So your tits are in the air.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then if you want a little,
Charlie's got to go and
if you want a little massage, like,
I think I'm wondering.
She's like, will you send a picture? Next time you do, just send us a picture.
Can you draw a diagram?
No, I'm just picturing it because I'm like, that actually seemed really lovely. I wonder if that's something our bodies could do. And yeah, I'm just sorry. Yeah,
I really hope I've inspired it.
Yeah, I think you have a little bit.
Because I find that, for example, for me, that's like non-sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, you know, it's like, if it's on a Sunday, like you're talking about the weekend or the week coming up, and like it's a different, like it's as nice as sitting at the dinner table, but there's something really cozy about it for me and really comforting.
Just I even love that. The thought of you going, shall we have a bath together? Like, I love that. It's that for me. It's even the, like, the suggestion, like, of both looking at each other, like, with excited eyes, like, shall we have a bath together?
I actually feel really sorry for people whose partners are, like, really anti-bath.
Or going to the
spa to, like, the jacuzzi and stuff. Like, Adam fucking loves that shit. He's like, get me pink pampered girl, like in the jacuzzi with the bubble, get the bubbles on.
Oh, I love that.
Because I just love, I find though, and even with a friend, like I find those types of things really great to just like connect. And
yeah, because you're not on your phone.
And then like, you're just in your body as well, I think, when you're like warm and in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found like when I was going through that time where I just didn't want to have sex because to me it was pain. Like Mike would just always offer to give me massages, and it helped so much.
Massage.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he probably had a bit of an ulterior motive, but to me, I was like, yeah,
Yeah, Adam's like giving me a massage, and then he's like, "Oh, you're massaging my bum a lot."
Yeah, but
yeah, he's like, "Yeah, the bum really, really needed a lot of massaging."
No, Mike's actually really good at like Wait, a good.
Did he give you a massage like me in Santorini on the sun lounge?
Up the cervix. No, but I found, because I think a lot of like the like trauma I had around the abortion and all of that, I needed relaxing. So it was like when I could then be relaxed, then yeah. I was open to wanting
and
to have sex.
You needed your partner to not make it about him and take it personally and be like, "Oh my, why don't you want to have sex with me?" That would have made you worse.
Yeah,
you
needed it to be
like open and working with you and like connect, wanting to meet you where you're at rather than like trying to push you too far, you know, get there too quickly with you.
Yeah, and we were saying, weren't we, before, I think it was maybe before you came, like, because obviously we went so long having like very little sex, it's then like hard to get back into doing it regularly because it's just not the norm, and if you start to feel a bit like awkward about it, and I feel like the longer you don't do it, the more weird it feels, but then the more like the more you start, like if anyone else is in that situation, like maybe you've not been through like the abortion or whatever, but maybe you've just in a long-term relationship, you're not really having sex, or it's like very few and far apart. I've found that the more we did it, and at first it was probably a bit like scheduled or like let's do it now. We wouldn't just kind of sit and then just start doing it. I'd be like, I fancy it, like you go brush your teeth, I meet you in the bedroom. Like that's how it would start. But the more we was doing that, like the more I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And like that, and the more he wanted to do it, and then the more we enjoyed it. What was you calling it?
Supply and demand, baby.
Yeah. Like, no, it's so that true. A thing? Because it definitely made a massive difference to us.
Well, it's like I was saying before, like girls who, you know, love having an orgasm with like their favourite vibrator. Your brain actually creates like a pathway to an orgasm because it associates that device, like that toy, with an orgasm. And it's the same with connecting with your partner, having sex. Your brain starts going, "Oh, this has happened. Oh, this has happened again. Oh, this has happened again." And you can kind of, you're more open to it. Like you start expecting it more, you know, you start thinking about it more, you start feeling more in sex. And so I agree, and I also think in a long-term relationship, there's a woman called Rosie Reese on Instagram. She owns a sex toy company in Australia.
It. But the only things I see of her is that like cum blanket.
Yeah,
like,
squirt it
just
blanket. Comes,
and I'm just like, what is it's like a
it's a waterproof blanket. Oh, to lay on the bed if you squirt, yeah. And you can also use it if you want to like free bleed or have extra protection during your period, which I thought is such a great idea. Mm-hmm. Like I want it just for that. But she said that she has like a 2-week rule with her partner, and I almost feel like we have this unspoken where it's like you don't go longer than 2 weeks without having sex. I personally love that because I think it avoids that awkward feeling of like it's been too long and then it's more of an effort to reconnect. And I think everyone will have their own version of that and their own frequency and everything. But I think it's really valuable to have that kind of conversation with your partner too and be like, "I want to have sex more," or, "Do you feel good about how often we have sex?" Like, I think you got questions about frequency of sex too, didn't you?
Yeah, I feel like that's a big one. Like, people compare frequency of sex, I think, quite a lot.
Yeah, and especially, I guess, both ways, right? People with a higher sex drive than their partner might be thinking, "Well, I want it more, like, my frequency is more." But people with a low libido might be thinking, "Do we have enough, like, should I be having it more? Should I be initiating it more? Or like, should I be saying yes every time?" Like, I think people can get really in the head about it, can't they?
What would you like, I don't know if you might have done this on your course or if you just know this, but what's like a normal amount of sex for a couple?
You can't answer that question.
Oh, like, what's the average that people generally have in a relationship?
I don't know, like, statistically, I'm sure I heard somewhere that it was, like, for married couples in a long-term relationship, I think it was once a fortnight, or, like, maybe once or twice a fortnight. Mm-hmm. So, on average, once every 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I'm a once a week girl. Like, once a week is my good. Twice a week is like a treat. Like, that feels like, yeah, we've had a really good week.
Yeah.
But once a week would be my minimum. But for, you know, everyone is so different. So I think.
But then what about when you're on your period? Is that a week cancelled out? So about like 3 times a month.
Again, that's so personal. Like, some girls love period sex. Some guys love period sex.
Really?
Yeah. Some guys love having sex when a girl's on a period.
Whoa.
He used to call it, oh, this is disgusting.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he used to call it Count Dracula.
Do you remember at school when boys would say, if the river runs red, take the dirt track instead?
I do. I remember that.
So loving and like nurturing. This is why we're all so confident about sex. But yeah, period sex is like totally individual. Some people love it, and some women find it really relaxing, like it helps with cramps. Some women find them more horny during the period. Some women, complete opposite, completely disgusted by the idea, like would hate that. I'm just like, feels like more admin in the cleanup. So that's why I tend to avoid it. This is me being a bit woo woo. I feel like that time of the month for me is very like inward, spiritual, restful. I don't want that energy into my body. Literally, I want to feel like I'm in my own little cocoon.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that there's anything wrong with it, because like I say, for some women it could be really nourishing. I have heard, and I need to do this more, I need to make a conscious effort to do it more, self-pleasuring during your period is really good. Like, a lot of women find it really helps with cramps, because when you have an orgasm,
I've seen that.
You release like oxytocin and it can actually relieve pain.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a little tip for
anyone. I know oxytocin can relieve pain.
Yeah, so exactly. Fuck me.
So, somebody wrote in saying that they cry after sex, and I asked them to elaborate, and they basically said sometimes after the finish she will just start sobbing and she has no idea why. She questions herself. She sometimes feels bad on a partner because he's just like, why are you crying? Or like, have I made you cry? I've heard of this before. But like, can you explain?
Yeah, of course. And again, it's kind of like, I'm going to explain anecdotally, because I cry a lot after sex too.
Really?
Especially if I've had a really intense orgasm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I've not heard of this.
No. And then when I spoke to a friend, one of my friends was like, oh yeah, you know, it's common to cry after having like really kinky sex, because you feel maybe more vulnerable after it. But, you know, that wasn't like, that's not the example for me. Like, we could have like the most soft, like loving sex, and I'll cry because I'm so emotional. Like, I feel like cracked open, like really happy and loved and safe. So for me, it's like a release. But physically, and it's totally, again, like normal, like don't feel bad. I think it makes it harder if your partner is like, whoa, like really freaked out by it. I know Adam, you know, the first times that it happened would be like, he would always lie down next to me and go, good tears or bad tears?
Why do I feel like that's something you say?
And I'd be like, good tears. Or he would be like, is everything genuinely concerned, like, is everything okay? And I would just have to explain to him like how I was feeling. And I think the more I've gone into this work, the more I can explain. So hopefully this helps this girl and anyone going through this as well. When you think about how, like, what sex is doing to your body, if you're holding stress or tension or you are like processing something, having an orgasm and having sex could, like, there's a lot of energy and emotion running through your body. And if you think of orgasm as well, especially being like this release, it makes sense as to why you have then an emotional release afterwards, like crying. And for me, I describe it like it's like hitting my factory reset button. Yeah. How I experience it is it's like this rush of feeling so relaxed and so loved and safe and like really held emotionally that I just feel ultimate, like, release, like, surrender is probably the right word, like, release, surrender, just like cracked open. And it's a really beautiful gift to like give your partner when you think about it. So for someone who's worried about their partner, I would share it in that way, because that's really beautiful, like, that you've felt, you feel connected and safe enough with your partner that you can express that emotion. Because crying, Vic always says this, like, crying is just any other expression of emotion, just like laughing, right? Just like smiling. So you don't need to label it as anything good or bad, like, it's just energy releasing from your body. But I think it's really special that you have that experience with your partner, because if you didn't feel safe enough to release that, like, you wouldn't, your body wouldn't be crying, you'd be like frozen up.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
that's really, really cute.
And this is something I discovered and I find really interesting, speaking of cervical and clitoral orgasm. So your cervix is linked to, and cervical being like, if you're having like deep penetrative sex, for anyone listening, like, you are obviously touching your cervix and stimulating it. For me, like, beginning to have cervical orgasms through penetration, your cervix is linked into your like central nervous system, and your nervous system is your fight or flight system. So if you are stressed or you have a lot going on, it makes sense that having one of those internal orgasms, it is literally like my factory reset. I'm like, oh, like, my life could be falling apart, and I have one of them and I'm like, oh, the life is so beautiful. Everything is great.
Oh, I love that.
So again, it's like that I've had to come to a good place with it and feel really good about it, so that my partner can then feel really good about it. And again, like, speak about it outside of the bedroom, not just like wait until you're crying and then try to explain, because you're like, might not get the words out right.
Yeah, so she can basically explain that it's an energy release and she feels really safe, and it's a beautiful thing.
I would invite her to like, what does she feel after sex? And she might want to reflect on that and then be able to share it with her partner, because that's how I realized that it felt like, oh, I just felt really open and relaxed and safe, and that's what I wanted to share. Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I've absolutely loved that.
Thank you. I've loved it too.
Have you got any like little, we love a nugget. A little nugget of wisdom, juicy, or just like anything, anything juicy to share before we completely wrap it up?
I'm trying to think about like what we've maybe not discussed. I am, the one thing I want to say actually is, I am an advocate for lube.
Okay.
Lube.
Great tip.
More is more with lube, I think.
What do you think about spit?
Yeah, spit is great.
As lube.
Yeah. You can definitely use spit like a lot of people do. But yeah, I think every woman should have a bottle of lube that she really likes in her like bedroom drawer, because sex is only going to get better with lube. Like, it's never going to take anything away. It's only going to improve.
Yeah. I was just about to say, do you think, say if someone's saying like, I'm struggling to orgasm, could that actually help reach orgasm or no? Good to try.
That person could find a lube they really like and then explore self-pleasure with it. like, and just massaging themselves, like self-pleasuring and figuring out like what they enjoy. I think lube is great for self-pleasure. But yeah, like we use condoms, and I think lube and condoms are like bread and butter, like they go so well together. But even if you don't use because I feel like, because it's obviously silicone, so when there's like a raw penis when you're a raw dogging.
Can I just say, this whole episode I've been like sometimes watching you intently, and you've been like so soft and really like going into like even like scientific things, and then you'll just go things like pussy dryer, and I'm like, what? Raw dogging.
You just come out with a one liner, and I'm just like, wait, they don't match up.
No, but I feel like this is Kat.
That's why I love
it. It is, isn't it? Yeah. You know me. I'm very real.
I love it.
But yeah, I think like have a bottle of lube that you really like, because
what would make a lube more likable to another lube?
The flavor.
Yeah, you could do flavors. There's water-based lube, and then there's silicone-based. I'm a convert to silicone-based now. I didn't realize, like, so water-based is the more common, like most of them will be water-based. And when you think about it, like the natural lubricant in your vagina is mostly water, so it makes most, it's like the closest thing to use. I sometimes found that some water-based for me, like it stings a little bit on contact, and it also feels really cold. Whereas silicone-based for me, I find it feels more oily, but it's not an oil, it's silicone, and it's more room temperature, and it lasts a little longer. So a lot of people use silicone lube for anal, but you can use it for vaginal sex, and as long as it says condom safe as well, you can use it with condoms. Yeah, but yeah, lube, like, I think anyone who's having regular sex should have lube, because it's just healthier for your vagina as well. Like, it's healthier for you to be very lubricated. Even if I feel really wet, I'll always put a little bit of lube, like, around the entrance to my vagina, because I feel like, you know, it's a very tight bit of skin, and like you want to look after it, you want to feel like it's nice slipping and sliding.
Do you know there was some lewd back in the day from Ann Summers called Ride and Slide?
I love it.
yeah anyway, I was just about to say, though, the thought of I would automatically go to the point of view that lube wouldn't be good for you, like a foreign thing in there. I'm guessing, obviously, the way they make it, it's not bad for you, but can there be some that's not good for you in there?
Yeah, so I mean, don't be putting, like, some people use coconut oil.
I would say surely that's better.
I personally, because coconut oil, I think there's something in the pH balance of it, like it's different from your vagina. If you're buying lubricant that's safe for use, like it is created in a way that it matches your vagina's pH as much as possible. I think coconut oil can throw it off. But a lot of people, but again, like, you know, if people are using that and it works for them, great. As well, just be aware, like, you cannot use condoms with coconut oil.
Break down the latex.
But yeah, some people love coconut oil. So I think this is why I'm like, find something that you really like that works for you and have it on hand. Because I think I always just use lube as default. Like, I never don't reach for it, because I feel like even midway through sex, you might think, oh, I feel like I'm getting a little bit sore, or like things feel a little bit tighter. You've got your lube there ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, love that. Great little tip.
Yeah.
So, Kat, it's been amazing to have you on. I feel like we've just been watching with like mouths open, just learning so much from you. I can't wait to pass it all on.
Like writing down notes.
Yeah, I love it. And I hope all the listeners have been writing notes down as well, especially for your ways of communicating things with partners. I feel like that's so powerful for people to have. So where can people find you, and how can people work with you before we close things off?
Thank you. I mean, if you love podcasts, the best place is to listen to my podcast too. There's going to be lots more sex and relationship stuff coming up as well, which is good. That's called Put Yourself First. You can find it anywhere. and I'm Kat_Horrocks on IG. I don't know why I said IG, like I'm not that fucking cool.
I'll put those in on the show IG. Notes, by the way. Yeah.
And then from, so I'm going to be taking on sex and relationship coaching clients from September this year. And I'm going to open those spaces in August. So if you're like specific with this work, that's what to look out for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, keep connected on Instagram and you'll be in the know.
Thank you. Ooh,
bless you.
Perfect then to that.
Apparently, it's like the 10th of an orgasm
that's
or
what
something.
I was just yeah. going to say, I can't believe you just sneezed on this episode. Yeah, a sneeze is apparently a 10th of an orgasm.
Really?
Yeah.
What, in like, it's supposed to feel that good.
Is it not just one of those myths that you heard in school and everyone said, and it's like, oh, has anyone, you know, you talk about, oh, has anyone had an orgasm yet? It's like, well, I've had loads today because you've been sneezing. Do you not remember?
I remember the sneeze thing, but yeah. I don't even know.
I've never heard of that before, but I guarantee anyone who's got hay fever and sneezes all day every day, it's so not like an orgasm.
No, I think it's a myth.
Yeah,
I think it's a myth. So. Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway,
put that to bed. We've solved a mystery there.
Just before we wrap up, if you have listened to today's episode and it's brought up any more thoughts or questions, please message us, message Kat. We can always come back and do a part two.
Okay, well, we will see you next week. And thanks again so much, Kat.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.